Jesus is here with us right now. That is a reality. We're not only gathered in this room together, but Christ, our Lord and Savior, is here with us. Think about that for a minute. The Creator of the heavens and the earth is with us here today in this moment. Isn't that wonderful news? Does that cause your heart to just leap with joy? Jesus is alive. The good news this morning is that the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. I don't know about you guys, but I had a really busy week. Anybody else have a busy week? Yes, many of us. We have busy lives. And I had a lot of things just coming at me at this week, and I felt that I needed to respond to all these things. And I got so busy with all these things, I found it hard to sit down this week and actually listen to God, what He wanted to lay on my heart to preach on this morning. I found myself yesterday morning actually writing a brand new sermon from what I had prepared earlier in the week. So I just felt the conviction from the Holy Spirit that, no, that's not right, Yarno, that's from you. I have something else. For some reason, I found myself thinking this week of other things besides the good news. And so often as a preaching pastor, you feel this pressure that you need to have these wise words and eloquent words to, you know, impress the church with my sermons. But that's not of God. That's of the flesh. 1 Corinthians, Paul puts it so well, chapter 2, verse 4, 5. He says, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Many of us have heard the gospel message, the good news, many times, right? And easily, preachers, we begin to think that we need to teach on other things, which is true to a certain extent. But we should never lose sight of proclaiming the good news, the gospel message. Never. That is what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to get us to not to focus on the good news of the gospel message. So that when we come together as a church, we're focused on anything else besides the good news. And he really gets victory when he gets us to focus on each other and focus on each other's faults and begin to judge one another. And as long as we're not thinking about the good news, the enemy's thrilled. Our focus needs to be on the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every single time we come together. Jesus defeated the enemy, so this morning we're also going to defeat the enemy's plan. By taking those captive thoughts that we might have against one another, judgmental, and put them out of our minds and fill that with the good news of the gospel message. You see, we can control our thoughts because of the power of the Holy Spirit. He changes our hearts, our desires. And this morning we're going to talk about the good news of the resurrected Christ. Amen? So if you have Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 1 to 12. And I have the scripture as well on the screen there for you if you want to read along that way. Luke 24. "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed with lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Man, isn't that amazing? The tomb is empty where Jesus was laid after his death. He's no longer there, and to this day, that tomb is empty. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is central to our faith. It's central to our faith. Without the resurrection, Jesus' suffering, his crucifixion, and death would have been meaningless. Have you ever thought about that? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." God's word says our faith would be futile if Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead. On Good Friday, just a couple days ago, we reflected on the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is the Son of God, the only person to live a perfect life without sinning, a lamb without blemish, yet he was made into sin and bore our sins to the cross. That's every person's sin he bore on himself, dying on the cross in our place, so that we can be washed clean by his blood that he shed upon that cross. The scripture says that as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. That's how far he has removed our sins from us. Have you ever thought about this? If you look at north and south, there's poles. There's an end. If you go north, you get to the North Pole, it ends. You go south, you get to the South Pole, it ends. But what's with east and the west? It just keeps going. It's forever. There is no end. That's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Amen. He took our punishment upon himself. Jesus gave his life as an atoning sacrifice for us that we can be washed clean. So when our Heavenly Father looks at us, when we are in Jesus Christ and profess faith in him, he does not see our sins. They have been removed. They have been cleansed. And he sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are right with our Heavenly Father. But if it was not for the resurrection, his death would have been in vain. Why? Because death would have had the victory. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. And if Jesus had not been resurrected from the dead, death would have had victory. But our Christ, our Jesus, lives, and death has been conquered. Therefore, sin has been conquered. The proof that Jesus' death was an effective sacrifice for our sin lies in the power of Jesus' resurrection. The Bible goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 22, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Praise the Lord. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Christ's resurrection, which is grounded in the eyewitness testimony, changes everything. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, then Jesus is the first of many who will be raised from the dead. Does this excite you? This is talking about everlasting, eternal life. Praise the Lord. Adam, the very first man created, sinned against God. And through him, sin came into this world and infected, affects all humans. But just as sin and death came through one man, so does life come through one man, Jesus Christ. So whoever belongs to Christ, who is in Jesus Christ, will be made alive. And his resurrection is proof of that. It's a promise. Jesus is the first fruits of all who will receive eternal life. When Christ returns, all people from all time throughout history will receive new bodies, resurrected bodies. Never again subject to weakness, to illness, to aging, or death. Can I hear an amen? After Jesus was resurrected, we read how many of his disciples do not immediately recognize him, right? We see Jesus in his resurrection body when Mary Magdalene lingers at the tomb and Jesus appears to her. So let's read about this in John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord,' and she told them that he had said these things to her." What a beautiful moment for Mary. What a beautiful moment for Mary. If you don't remember who Mary is, she is the woman who Jesus cast out 7 demons out of her and changed her life, saved her, rescued her from her pit of despair. She was a disciple of Jesus who supported his ministry, and she was also an eyewitness of Jesus' crucifixion and death. And she is the first of Jesus' disciples to see him alive after his burial. And at first, when Mary saw Jesus, she thought he was the gardener. She did not recognize him. It did not cross her mind that this could be Jesus. You see, Jesus was now in his resurrected form. He would have looked somewhat different, perhaps more youthful appearance of perfect health, especially when you compare Jesus to when Mary must have last seen him when he was gone through that tremendous suffering and disfigurement upon the cross. You see, we too will have resurrected bodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says there are heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. And just as we have been born of the image of the man of dust, referring to earthly body, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven, which is our heavenly body. What an awesome promise we have in Jesus Christ. Do you taste the goodness of God? What awesome good news this is, that we will have resurrected bodies after this life. You see, Christ bore our illnesses, our sickness upon the cross. And yes, sometimes we are healed in this life from these sicknesses and illnesses, but in the final life, in the resurrection, all of these illnesses, sicknesses will be gone, and we will have that perfect new resurrected body. That is wonderful news. Mary did not recognize Jesus until he said her name. And upon hearing her name, she recognizes the voice of Jesus. It's just as Jesus taught about in the Gospels about the good shepherd and his sheep, right? In John chapter 10, verses 3 to 4, he says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." Do you know the voice of the Good Shepherd? Do you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? Perhaps you're hearing his voice right now speaking to your heart this morning. If you're hearing his voice, respond to it. Don't ignore it. If the enemy is accusing you of your sin this morning, hear the voice of Jesus saying, "You are forgiven, my son, my daughter." And he wants you to go to him to find salvation, everlasting life. Mary answered Jesus. And Jesus tells her not to hold on to him yet, but instead go tell his brothers, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Did you hear that? Jesus is ascending not only to his Father, but your Father. Not only his God, but your God. And Jesus refers to his disciples as brothers. We can be assured that we have a God who is our heavenly Father. A Father whose love for us is so deep that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. And we have a Savior who calls us brothers and sisters. And we share in the inheritance of Jesus Christ, an inheritance of everlasting life. And this is just wonderfully perfect good news for us as His church today and for all people around the whole world. Jesus is alive, and He has promised one day to return to take us into the Father's house in heaven. And He has gone ahead of us to prepare a place there for you. As we come to the communion table this morning, I want to read Jesus' words that He said during the Last Supper with His disciples. It's from Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 29. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is My body." Then He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." Jesus will not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when He drinks it anew with us in our Father's kingdom. That is the promise of Jesus. What a promise to look forward to. One day we will see our Lord and Savior face to face and dine with Him at a great banquet, rejoicing in paradise. Can I ask our elders to come up as we go to the Lord's table?